From the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 7, beginning with verse 35. And some people brought a man to Jesus, who was deaf and could not talk, and they asked him to place his hand on that man. And after Jesus had put the man aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said, "Ephphatha," which means "to open." And after this, the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to talk clearly. Jesus commanded the people not to tell anyone, but the more Jesus said that, the more the people kept talking. The people were overwhelmed with amazement. "He does everything well," they said. "He makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." This is God's word. It is with great pleasure that today and tomorrow my colleagues and I will have an opportunity to visit with the seminary family and discuss with you some of the exciting things that are occurring in the ministries at our 11 different organizations and agencies. We look forward with great joy to this opportunity. This afternoon, we invite you to come with us to an open house over at Lober Hall, where we will have coffee and donuts and other things and some displays. Please come and visit with us anytime from 2 to 4. This evening we will have some workshops, and we look forward to many of you coming. I understand that the choir is going to be practicing during the first one, but we hope that they will stay and come with us to the second session of those workshops that begin first at 6:30 and then again at 7:45. And then tomorrow you will have an opportunity to see the bell choir from Bethesda in Watertown, Wisconsin. And there, Pastor Simpson, come and lead your worship. And then finally, tomorrow morning, we will have the convocation here after chapel. And we hope that you will all plan to come and stay for that. You and I have the opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways. Today, I would like to share with you this text and try and help you see an idea in it that perhaps you have not caught before. I have never understood why the evangelism department of the seminary or of the synod have not gone down to this text and said, "We would like to use this for evangelism," because it starts with those beautiful words, "Some people brought a man to Jesus." That's the chief purpose of our ministry, I believe. Our goal is to try and bring people to Jesus. And therefore, I would think that this text would be used much more than it is. For some reason, it has been given to us in the deaf group and used by us exclusively, and I'm not sure why, because it is a beautiful starting sentence. "Some people brought a man to Jesus." Now, it happened that that man was deaf, but notice that was an afterthought. The first thing you were supposed to notice was that it was a man. A human being like you and I, a person who, like you and I, needs Jesus. When the Bible says all men have failed and sinned, the Bible does not say all human people have failed and sinned. When the Bible says we have come short of the glory of God, it does not say all intellectual people have come short of the glory of God. The Bible is fairly clear in saying that all people need Jesus. I have never really fully understood the rationale of many, many sick people who, while they believe that sentence, still say, yeah, that's true, but I don't know how to work with the mentally retarded. They make me nervous. I don't know how to communicate with the deaf. I can't do that. The Bible does not say, "Go to all nations except those that don't hear," does it? Some people brought a man to Jesus. That's our challenge all of our life as ministers, bringing people to Jesus. And after they brought the man to Jesus, what did they do? They begged him to put his hands on them. I'm afraid that many times the reason your and my evangelism fails is because when we bring people to Jesus, we come into church and we fold our arms, not our hands. We fold our arms and say, well, let's see what happens. Let's see if God will bless this person. Let's see if my suspicions are right if they don't want Jesus. The people in this church brought a man to Jesus, and then they prayed. They begged Jesus to do something. When you and I do our evangelism, we are to be both bringers and beggars. People who again and again say, God, help this individual accept Jesus as their friend, their Lord, their only Savior. And yet, the truth is that you and I, like the servants of that text, have many times disappointed our Lord, either through not bringing or through not begging. We have thought, well, it's okay, I'll send my dollar to Detroit and you'll let them take care of the debt. Or I'll send my dollar to Bethesda and you'll let them take care of the daily product. And I'm free, I've gotten rid of it. And we have built our rationalizations while we nailed our Lord again and again to the cross, as we failed both to bring and to bear. But there's one more rationalization. I was called to serve a big church. I don't have time for those people. I'm busy. And the lesson said, after Jesus led the man aside from the crowd. Did you notice that? Jesus looked with a large church also. In fact, in the next verses, Jesus is going to feed 5,000 people, remember? It was a big church. But while he was interested in the crowd, he was also interested in the individual. He took him aside. And surprising things happened. Wondrous things happened. Jesus did a miracle that day. No, not really. He did two miracles. I don't know if you know how hard it is to teach a deaf person to speak. They cannot hear what they say. They cannot monitor what they are doing. And we spend hours and weeks and months and years trying to get a deaf person to speak just a little bit. And in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord said, Ephatha, and he spoke. Hey, there's a miracle that what takes us mortal people months and months and months to do, he did in a moment. There was a second miracle that day. The miracle is that the man had something to say. How many of us talk regularly and say nothing? But this man, who had no education, who knew nothing before this, had received in that same twinkling of an eye a full education and had something to say. Jesus did two miracles that day, and the people were rightly astounded. The beggars and the bringers were astounded because of what Jesus did. Stories like this are the stories that you could hear 100 and 1,000 times today from my colleagues from the different agencies as they share with you the joy that they have as Jesus again and again and again opens up people to ministry. Let me just share what. About 5 years ago at our school, which then had only deaf children, we decided that during Lent, we would teach the 5-year-old children during their half-hour a day religion class every day of the week, we would teach them one sentence. The sentence is, Jesus died for me. I think you would agree that that's a fairly good sentence to teach, a very important one. But I doubt you understand the difficulty of that. When you show me one picture of Jesus, so remember, I'm going to have to teach these five-year-olds some pictures. You can't really do that, can you? We have pictures of Jesus with long flowing hair and a beard. We have pictures of Jesus with short hair and no beard. We have pictures of Jesus in clothes like, the 0th century, whatever that was. We have pictures of Jesus in our clothes. We have 100 and 1,000 pictures of Jesus on that one. And how are you going to teach to your child that all those different people are the same one, Jesus Christ? And if you really want to challenge sometimes, try and teach a deaf person the letter S. The deaf will regularly say, I hit two balls, and go out. You and I would say, oh, I hit two balls. Try to lip-read an S. You can't do it. Not possible. This is the sound of air speaking. There's no lip motion. The deaf are right when they say, I hit two balls. We're also right when we correct them. Try two of these. The second word, die. How many of you have taught a five-year-old about the word death? Grandma's asleep in Jesus, right? See? But he's also dead. Grandpa is living with Jesus in heaven, right? That's true, okay? Is he? But he's also dead. You tell that to a five-year-old? Not in America. Cats die, cows die, but grandma and grandpa are asleep. They don't die. And the last two words are the two words that have stumbled all of society for generations before Nina. There are many people who know Jesus, but have never said, Jesus died for me, because I failed to burn, because I failed to bow, because I failed to be interested in the individual. There are many people who have lost those for me words. So we're going to teach the four words, 6 weeks, 5 days a week, and we're ready. But then the Lord did something we didn't expect. One of the children in that class had an accident. And I'm not talking about a little teeny accident. I'm talking about a very big accident. So big that it was on the 6 o'clock news. And I'm not talking about the St. Louis news, although in fact that day the accident in Detroit was on the St. Louis news. It was also on the news in New York City, and in London, and in Paris, France. This was a big accident. And there were many people that night that were doing some begging, because we were on our knees all night long saying, God, the door belongs to you, that if you would let us have it a little longer, we'd appreciate it. God, please let the door live. He did. He decided that he could stay with us a little longer. She's still alive, not her life. And she came back to school again and studied with us. And then about Palm Sunday, so, 5 weeks have gone by, the young girl comes to my office. And we have a thing at my place that if the door is open to my office, the children can come in. And they can ask for anything they want to ask for. What they're going to come in for is the candy that I got hidden down there. Remember, I'm the mean. I'm the guy who makes the rules. I'm the guy who thanks the rich child. And the only way I'm going to get the children to come to me is if I do just a little bit of bribery. That doesn't mean that I'm in favor of bribery, but I am in favor of talking with children. And so I have some candy down there. Okay? So the girl comes in, puts her head on the desk, and she's crying. Now, I know what's supposed to happen next. I'm supposed to reach down and give it to him. Remember, I said, I'm the mean. So I just sat back and said, And the little girl kind of scratched her head. And she says, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. Maybe I did it wrong, so I'll try again. And she tried again. And my old heart kind of melted down a little bit. But I said, this kind of fun. Let's see what happens. So I smiled again. Now, that was a dumb mistake. So what happened next year is the little girl lost interest in the candy and got some interest with a little cheese cross. They went over. And she went over to it, she got it in her hand, and she began to play with it. And my little heart began to thump. Because you see, in that cross, you can take out the nails, and you can take off the body from the cross and lay it down if you want. And the nails are only, about a 16th of an inch long. You don't buy these at a hardware store, and you know what's going to happen next. The little girl's going to take out the nail, down there's a rug, it's going to be gone. I was done. I should have given the candy. But the girl is just fascinated with this stuff. And she looks at it, and she looks at it, and finally she comes to me and says, Jesus. Hey, that's okay. This girl has learned from all those different pictures that the person who hangs on the cross is our friend Jesus Christ. Wow, that girl is lying. Those 5 weeks were well spent. We did it. But she's not interested in the candy. I'd be happy to give her. She found the nail. She pulls it out. She puts it in. She pulls it out. She puts it in. And then she looks to me and says, oh yeah, when I failed to bring people to Jesus, that hurt. Oh yeah, when I failed to beg for people, that hurt. That girl was right. You stick in a nail, and it hurt. But then the girl did something that I did not expect. The girl proacted, remember she has very little language. She proacted and said, it took more than my accident. Wow. What happened in that place took more than anything that will ever happen to me or to you. Our Lord hung between heaven and earth, abandoned by us. And for a moment, seemingly abandoned by his father, as he shouts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The girl was right. She really had learned. And I was ready to give her that whole jar of candy. Except what happened next is, with a great big smile, the girl went dancing out of the room, saying very clearly, Jesus died for me. Bring people to Jesus. Beg that Jesus put his hands on them. Bring the deaf. Bring the blind. Bring the mentally retarded. Bring the healthy poor. Bring those that can't walk anymore. Bring people to Jesus. Because then you too will be astonished at the joy as people again and again say, Jesus died for me. Amen. Now may the peace of God that is above all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.